Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hello and welcome in to Jayhawk Talk Radio here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Kevin Meckley. Andrew Payne is across from me. Our dude Kyle Collier's here, mashing on all the buttons. And Andrew, it is my favorite time of year in Kansas City. You know, some people are partial to opening day at the K. Some like the holiday lighting ceremony. What are the other things? A Plaza Art Fair? What else can you think of? Race Day? Speedway?
Any Chiefs game.
Chiefs game, sure.
Smell a barbecue in the air.
But for me, Andrew, it's the start of the Big 12 tournament down at P&L.
Oh, yeah, the springtime smell, the exhaust fumes in the parking garage. Exactly. Waiting to get out of the T-Mobile
Center. The spilled
center.
Beer just everywhere.
Yeah. The free Starry that you've spilled on yourself on the walk home. Or any other free item that you can receive out there.
There's nothing like better. Fest. As a college basketball fan, this is the time of year. Because here's the thing. Everybody's still alive. Well, not everybody after today. But going into this week, everyone is still alive. You can still feel some chances. You got a chance to get to the tournament. You got seeding. You got stuff to play for.
Hey, all you got to do is win.
All you got to do is win.
All you got to do is win.
It is officially postseason, and I love the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City. I always have. Gone to it since I was a kid, and there's just something special about it. And we are here, Andrew. We're excited to be talking Big 12 tournament this hour and throughout the show. And unfortunately, for a few minutes here, we might have to reflect for a very short time. I think we should keep this somewhat short on the week that was for KU basketball.
Well, the Jayhawks can't be said to be going in and incredibly strong. You might be saying they're limping in to this Big 12 tournament, Kevin. We've gone through this in the past. There's been some issues when you've got great teams. You have some injury issues. You can think back to the Udoka Azubuike never playing a Big 12 tournament game in his entire career at Kansas. Yeah, you have your Wiggins year and your Embiid getting hurt. There's lots of examples, but this one may take the cake, Kevin.
We somehow had two guys up for All-American status.
Two guys who finished first team All Big 12.
And neither of whom.
Difficult to do.
That is difficult
to get. For two teams to get first on a sixth seed. the team that finished sixth in the Big 12 has two first teamers. So, yeah. I mean, your points are already top heavy in terms of where you're getting your production from, Kevin. Just so happens that those two are not going to be playing for the Jayhawks this week.
It should make the Big 12 tournament interesting for the Hawks.
Very interesting. It's going to be fun.
It is different.
Why not?
It is different. We will see lineups that we've never seen before. We will see the baby Hawks, the short Hawks, the baby Jays, the small ball. I did, Andrew, also see on the way to the studio, you called me with breaking news.
Beep, 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 beep.
The breaking news was KU is an underdog as the sixth seed in the Big 12 tournament.
Against a team that had to come back from 17 down?
At least 16
down
like that.
In the second half against West Virginia. Pulls it out in the Cincinnati Bearcats. The Cincinnati Bearcats are favored in tomorrow's matchup against the Jayhawks. Even though they're playing off of 0 days rest, back-to-back, that kind of shows where the public is thinking. That line may move.
It'll probably move. People are going to see it and not know, you know, the full story. Obviously, you could convince me of anything that could happen tomorrow.
That's why this tournament's so great.
That's
Kevin.
Great.
Anything
it's madness.
Could happen. Anything could happen. So, Kevin, here we are. You know, we had a demolishing that we witnessed that happened down there in Houston, Texas, where the Jayhawks lost by 30 points. Kevin McCullough goes out with a dislocated shoulder. We're going to get into that later on in the show. Kevin McCullough opts not to play in the Big 12 tournament to rest up that knee. I think if Hunter was going to play, if Hunter had not injured that shoulder, there probably would have been some possibility that Kevin would play. Do you think that's true?
Maybe.
Because it's a different scenario with if Hunter's not going to play, then all right, let's call it like this. We're showing that this a win in the Big 12 tournament isn't as important to us. So take that for what it's worth. And you end up a sixth seed in this tournament and having to play on Wednesday for the first time ever under Bill Self. It's throwing up my whole schedule. My routine for the Big 12 tournament is thrown off completely. So the Jayhawks will be playing tomorrow night at 8:30 Central. More likely 9. We'll probably go.
Yeah,
long.
Well, let's be honest. 9:15.
It'll be a long day out there at the T-Mobile Center. But get yourself ready. Get your popcorn ready at 8:30. But get your second bag ready at 9:15.
Yeah, in the post game of the Houston game, Bill Self said something like, "I don't know what the MRI will say for Hunter." And then he paused and said, "I'm tempted, depending on what happens with Hunt, that may affect Kevin too." So he even hinted at that time what he was thinking, which was, if Hunt's out, McCullough's out, if there's any chance they can both play. And to which I responded, "Watch for Bill Self to come out with something to the effect of, both guys are going to be fine. They're going to be great for the tournament. Don't you worry. We're going to be healthy as can be, because we saw last year and we've seen in the past the selection committee will down seed you if they think that injuries are real and will impact the quality of your play." So indeed, he did that.
Is it propaganda? I don't know.
We don't
Maybe.
Know.
I believe it.
I sure hope it.
I certainly believe it. So, Kevin, here we are. We have a choice to make as we go through this show. How are we going to frame our mindset in terms of what this the rest of the season is going to be like? And so I have a choose your own adventure game for you.
Okay.
And so we'll choose this adventure on how we take the rest of the show. So we're going to choose our own narrative for the rest of this show tonight. And so I'm going to start from probably worst to best, and I want you to pick where you are, and we'll kind of start down that path. You know, okay, those little books you used to read as a child?
Well, sure, yeah.
As an excuse not to read a full book because you just, like, walk through a trap door and fall into a pit of snakes?
Yes.
Right? And it's like, oh, read that book. So here we're doing that with basketball. Okay, number one, abandon all hope, ye who enter here.
Oh, no.
Season's over.
That is KU Twitter right now. If you logged into a message board recently, if you logged into Twitter recently, that is the mindset of most, I would think, of the very online KU
But
KU
if you
world.
Are someone who's posting all the time online, you probably already have this incredibly negative mindset, because that's what you've been programmed to talk about.
Right,
that's
sure.
That's what gets the most clicks.
That's
fair. Where you are. Number two, you know, it's probably about time to start your alerts for transfer portal updates. Turn back on your Aline McKinney.
The season's over. Just go straight to Portal Town. That's all people are caring about now?
That's all I care about. Number three, who cares about the Big 12 tournament? Just give us the practice time.
There's something to that, and I would say that, especially with the injuries, I think there's a fair bit of KU world out there who thinks that.
And that's kind of a middle ground.
Yeah, right? they're saying, look, the only thing that matters now is the tournament, and get some rest. Nothing wrong with losing in the first game and just get your rest.
We're getting a little better here. Number four, are you suggesting that no one believes in us?
Oh, see, this is my favorite.
Narrative time.
This is also probably the smallest of the KU groups that are out there. At least it feels that way. Indeed, there was a time, Andrew, that KU was the number one, preseason number one team in college basketball. There was a time, Andrew, when healthy, this entire team had the best starting five in college basketball. There was a time not that long ago that we were beating on teams like UConn, Kentucky,
Houston,
Tennessee. There was a time in this season that this team looked like a potential Final Four or national championship caliber team. And I'll say this, Bill Self said in Hawk Talk last night that we're going to get healthy. Healthiest we've been in a long time for the start of the NCAA tournament. And so
that's, yes, number five here.
There's
just wait.
Yeah, the best is yet to come, right? That is one way we could take this. So where do you think we should steer? What's your heart tell you? How what is your adventure that you want to choose?
I'm probably like a 3.5.
Okay.
Which means like I'm somewhere between who cares about this tournament, just give us the practice time, and are you suggesting no one believes in us?
Okay.
But so I've got upside built in me.
You are positive. Yeah, you're positive. I'm probably somewhere in the kind of think portal season is among us.
Ah.
But you never know, and I'll be willing to allow for a world where there is some ceiling left to be seen by this team, if healthy. Again, if healthy,
right? I mean, this team was preseason number one.
Believed in us.
Think about this team. Think about this team. Hunter Dickinson, the prized 7'2". Everything and has done everything we've asked him. Like, we wanted him to come in here and be a 20-10 guy. Guess what, Kevin?
Guess what he is?
He came in and did.
Yeah.
We wanted Kevin McCuller to come back for his fifth year and be an All-American candidate like Jalen Wilson, like Ojai Agbaji. Guess what? He did just that.
Correct.
Dwan Harris is now Bob Cousy top 10 finalist. There's some others who have maybe not lived up to certain expectations, but Johnny Furphy's been a surprise. This top five can go up against anybody.
Jeez, and here you go. Listen to you.
If I'm talking you up, if I'm going to raise your number
listen
a little bit.
Listen to you.
I want you to come to my level. I want you to come to at least a 3.5.
I'll get to a 3.
I'm going
to
tell you is that this team's built for a March tournament.
Oh, wow. Here we go.
We don't need a deep bench in March, Kevin.
Yeah, but you need 5 players.
That is true.
You do need 5. Right now we're like 3. Speaking of 3.5, we're about 3.5. That's how many players we got right now.
Well, we will be playing with 7 scholarship players tomorrow against Cincinnati. And so when we come back after the break, we're really going to dive into, you know, what's this Jayhawk team going to look like in the Big 12 tournament. It's going to be a little different.
A little different.
You had nicknamed them the Baby Jays.
Baby Jays. Look at them. They're all small.
Baby ballers. Small ballers. It's going to be different. Maybe a little bit more shooting. KJ's going to have to step up. But anyway, right here on WHB, just stay tuned. We're going to get into this and more Big 12 tournament talk.
Let's do it.
More.
Can't wait.
More. We're going to get in some betting. We're getting them some preview of the bracket. So right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back in, Jayhawk Talk Radio, Sports Radio 810 WHB. It is Big 12 week in Kansas City, folks. One of my favorite weeks. One of my favorite weeks of the year. Love this year. I love this week. We got the Jayhawks playing tomorrow night. Cincinnati, 8:30. Probably more like 9:15. And Andrew, they are going to be playing with a little bit different lineup than we have seen maybe all year. There weren't many times this year with this small bench that we saw lineups that did not have either Kevin or Hunter in the game. And we're going to see the entire game without both of them.
And I might add is that when there were moments when neither Kevin nor Hunter were on the floor, the Jayhawks weren't very good.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
did you do this math? I haven't looked this up.
That would be an interesting stat. What is the plus minus of that group without either of those players? I can't imagine it's very good.
Well, we're going to find out what over a 40-minute time sample we can see. Here's the thing, though. They've been preparing for it. They've been planning for it since Saturday. We knew at that time, likely, that this was going to be the outcome. And Bill Self last night at Hawk Talk had a few things to say about this. So we want to listen to a few of those comments now, react to those. Let's start with Bill Self on Hunter Dickinson's injury.
We got great news yesterday with Hunt. There's no surgery. He did not tear his labrum. Actually, he's far better off than what the doctors and the trainers even imagined. So he's got good range of motion. He's already started rehab, all those things. Now, that's the good news. Bad news is he's not going to play this week. The good news is he should be practicing full speed by the start of next week. So he'll be available to us with the NCAA tournament. And not only available, but, you know, should be fine. I mean, he'll be He'll be conditioning and doing non-contact basketball stuff by, you know, Thursday or Friday this week, we think. And all indications are pointing to that. And then have contact Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, depending on when we play, if we play Thursday or Friday, but should get at least 3 full days in. So that was the best news, because we were all concerned that you know, he may have something to require surgery, and that's not the case.
So there was Bill Self talking about Hunter Dickinson's injury. And Andrew, a couple things to note in that clip. Very, very, very clearly and confidently, as loud as he could yell into the microphone in front of Brian Haney and the cast of folks there in the restaurant.
Tavern.
Yeah, at Johnny's. Bill said very clearly, Hunter's going to be fine for the tournament. Fine, fine, fine. He's 100% fine. He's going to be healthy. He's going to have range of motion. He's going to have contact injuries. He's going to be playing like he's 10 years old again. He's 100% fine. Don't you worry. That was the message that I heard. Now, was that for the crowd there at Johnny's Tavern?
He got a good reaction. He got a good woo, got some claps. Like, that was certainly for that crowd. But that was directed at a certain few individuals probably located in a conference room in Indianapolis right now.
Correct.
The tournament selection committee.
Yeah.
That is who he wanted to hear that. And that was, you know, it was, if you clicked on the basketball tab on ESPN, that was on there, is that Dickinson and McCullough will miss the Big 12 tournament,
but
Self anticipates a full return for both for the NCAA tournament. That message got through.
Yes.
I mean, if he speaks, it will get through. Like, this is not going to be a secret. But that is the company line, and I believe it. And
you
I
do believe it. That was my next question. I just want to make sure.
I do believe it. And, you know, a couple reasons why. If he wasn't ready to play with a shoulder injury, they wouldn't put him out there. And I think we're going to know pretty quickly if that's going to work out. You know, his first game, in the first round. But you know, we'll see. And I think that Kevin just needs some rest. I think both of them, you know, just need the rest. I think for Hunter, I don't know if he's ever asked to be played this hard this long. You know, he's had 3 years in Michigan where they kind of, you know, cashed it in last year early. He had a good season the year before. A COVID year was a little shortened. So this has been a brutal battle for him. Giving him, you know, kind of a couple weeks
off.
Give
him a little break.
Maybe good for him.
All right. Well, he also had some commentary about Kevin McCullough. Let's hear that now.
Kevin tried to play against Houston, as you guys know, and couldn't. He didn't really do anything between the K-State game and the Houston game, but was feeling very good in warm-ups, because we said it'd be a game-time decision. He was feeling very good. And then when he got out there, he didn't feel like he could perform. So he went through one substitution and then came out. Kevin will not play this week. He will not play this week. But that's a positive, too, because everyone thinks that the time off will obviously help him. So he will play in the NCAA tournament as well. Our goal for Kevin is very similar to Hunt in that non-contact stuff, and then by Monday be contact and be practicing and doing that. So that's what we're hopeful for. The thing with Kevin, you know, you can tweak it and obviously create pain and that kind of stuff. But we're thinking a week from today, Kevin will be practicing with us and doing everything, which is so much better than what we've been doing, because we've been only getting maybe one practice in a week on the other times. And Nick can tell you the same thing. So we're the least healthy we've been all year. We have the least number of players available to us we've been all year. But we should be the most healthy we've been in a long time when the NCAA tournament starts.
Listen to that, Andrew.
I'm gonna clap for that.
Now this is
woo! That was a clap for that.
This is the pure spin zone, if I've ever heard it before. I love it, by the way, and I hope like heck he's right. That not only are we gonna have Hunter and Kevin back, Andrew, we're gonna be the most healthy we've been in a long time with Kevin and Hunter back.
So
that's
of
course, that your All-American literally separated his shoulder a week ago.
Not separated, dislocated.
Dislocated, whatever.
Separated.
Blah, blah, blah. Messed up his shoulder. And then, you know, your other guy couldn't go, after a good warm-up, couldn't go more than 4 minutes and had to sub out. But a week and a half is going to be just what the doctor ordered to get back.
It's like 12 days. Like, let's give it a little more credit than that. But I'm going to believe this.
I hope. Like, listen, I'm not.
It's not that they're going to be back. It's they're going to be back.
Okay.
They're back.
Here we go.
They're back, Kevin. No, I mean, it's just interesting that he came out just to say this. I mean, I think that his comments on Saturday after the Houston game maybe were influenced a little bit by emotion. Where the emotion was like, oh man, what's going on with this team? Like he looked discouraged, he felt discouraged. This was a little more upbeat. I like this, Bill. You know, and this is a puzzle for him. This is a puzzle for him to figure out with this team going into the Big 12 tournament tomorrow, where you've got a whole new starting lineup. You know, he could have just coasted into this Big 12 tournament, kept doing the same things. This forces him to make decisions and to do things differently. You know, gets those brain cells firing up a little bit. I'm a little mad that they made him do this Hawk Talk. He needed to be out there coaching, coming up with game plan. He has a game in 2 days.
Yeah. The one nice thing, and no one's really talked about this, but you remember this time of year, or this time last year, well, close to it this time of last year, we weren't sure if Bill Self was going to be coaching at all again.
That was a wild time. We were all doing this show and trying to figure out what was going on.
You know, we saw him a couple times. I heard about, you know, in Kansas City what was going on. Saw him a couple times. He was not himself. And now he gets to go back and show Andrew that not only he's the best coach, but he can somehow win with these cast of characters. That would be quite a little comeback for him, and the game plan should be very, very interesting. Speaking of, let's hear his comments on the baby Jays, the little Jays, the smaller lineup.
It's going to look a lot different, and we're going to be tiny.
Yeah,
when you really look at it, KJ at the five or Parker, but KJ probably starting at the five, and then you got you know, our power forward, Johnny Furphy, and small forward Nick Timberlake, you know. So, right. So that's probably what it'll look like. And, you know, we say all along that, you know, there's an expression, you know, unfortunately, that's come of a tragedy, a huge one up in the Boston area as far as Boston tough, you know. Isn't that right, Nick? You know, Nick is going to show us that and you know, Marco get a chance to be out there a lot, but you know, as far as scholarship guys, we only got seven.
Right.
So we need to play smart. We need to play tough, and certainly need to have some fun, and you know, let that ball fly, and hope like heck that we perform at a level that we're capable of. We do that, we'll be fine.
Let that ball fly.
We'll be fine.
We'll be fine if they let the ball fly. This is a game, Andrew, that if we shoot 13 threes again, I'm going to lose my brain. If we somehow come out of this game and are 4 for 13 from 3, I'm going to be so angry. We need to shoot the ball from 3. What's the number? How many times do we need to shoot the ball from 3?
Wow.
Let me tell you today, Cincinnati shot the ball 38 times from the 3-point line. How many times does KU need to shoot the ball from 3-point land?
I mean,
39.
In this lineup.
Saying
39. Kyle says 39.
Saying 20 makes it seem too low. You know,
20 is a lot for this team.
I know. It's got to be like 20 to 25.
Think of a world.
It's got to be Furphy, and it's got to be Timberlake, and then Dwan can't be passive.
Yeah. Juan's going to shoot 5 threes in this game.
Let Parker fly.
Let him all shoot.
Parker
KJ,
shoot.
Spot up. Spot up and do that push three. Where you shoot, he does a little push shot from like 10 feet. Just push it up there.
El Marco, take whatever mid-range junk you want.
Yeah, he makes those.
They go in. That's his game. Do it.
Here we go. Let it fly. See, this is why I'm kind of excited for this game.
No pressure.
Something totally different.
Yeah.
Zero pressure. We're an underdog as a 6 seed, and what happens if we lose this game?
Nothing.
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 Nothing. We just don't get to watch the Hawks again for another week, which is annoying. But, like, it is what it is.
All right, Kevin, we're going to take a break here. After the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about this 7-man scholarship rotation and really get into this doesn't matter at all.
Doesn't matter.
You know, maybe it is, but it's house money. It's house money. And you know what? no one believes in us. Hey, no one believes in us. So let's just go out and win the whole thing, Kevin. I don't know. We'll see about that. Yeah. But anyway, that's right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Back in Jayhawk Talk Radio, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Get that pep rally started. It's pep rally season, Andrew. Down at the Power and Light. My favorite. It's my favorite time of year. It's my favorite time of year. Look, we've got a matchup on Wednesday, which is new. That's new. A matchup on Wednesday against the Cincinnati Bearcats, a team that we've played once in the Big 12 tournament slate and beat by a handful of points in Allen Fieldhouse. A tough game. Tight game, a close game, kind of a physical, tough game.
And we got out-rebounded without McCuller or Hunter. Not looking great on the rebounding.
Rebounding could be KJ, a key to the game.
KJ got a rebound. Furphy got a rebound. Timberlake got a rebound.
I know we're going to talk about prop bets at some point or bets. When the Furphy over rebounds shows up, pound the over. I'm telling you right now.
Ball's got to go somewhere.
Ball's got to go somewhere. KJ has not routinely in his career been a great rebounder. The best rebounder on our team, pound for pound, Johnny Furphy, he may get 15 boards in this game.
And he may need to.
It's
not just like a luxury of like, oh, let's see how many he can go get.
No.
It may be necessary.
He is 100%. He's going to be on every block. He is our power forward. You heard it from Bill Self. He said, Johnny Furphy, power forward. Here we go.
Emphasis on the power.
So we have for this game tomorrow, 7 scholarship players. 7. We got Dwan. We got El Marco. We got Timberlake. Johnny and KJ, and then coming off the bench, Parker Brown, Jamari McDowell. That's it. That's all we got.
Do you think that we'll see, I don't know, a Jankovic, maybe a Wilder Evers?
I think we will see Jankovic.
We may need to.
I would be honestly surprised if we don't see Jankovic.
Just for a spell?
Mm-hmm.
You know, 8:20 in the... on the game clock, you got to get to the under 8 timeout. Let's give Timberlake a little rest.
Over under 3 minutes for Jankovic. What do you take?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of ways to go with that.
I mean, I know.
If the Jayhawks are just getting blown out,
yep, it's Jankovic
then
time.
Then it could be over. But if they're in a close game, it also could be necessary too. I'll take the under, but okay. I'm tempted.
All right, fair enough. I'm the house here. I don't have to make this bet.
So this team is going to be super small, super fast, and I think Dwan likes to play that way.
He does.
And I think that
KJ
you
does.
Look at some of these guys transition-wise, we know Timberlake likes to go
Timberlake likes to, the best transition player on the team might be Johnny Furphy.
And exactly, because when he goes for a breakaway, it's going in, and he's probably getting fouled. He's probably making the free throw. You can say that about other guys. You know, they'll get fouled and it won't go in. Or they'll just miss it completely. There's a handful on this list that you can't necessarily trust them. Furphy, though, you know, look for the run and gun, especially with this matchup nightmare. I mean, it is if Cincinnati can do one thing and one thing well, it is rebound the basketball.
Hmm.
Defensively and offensively.
You know who else is good at that? Houston.
Yeah. Well... Right. So, I mean, learn the lesson, but I think you play into the strengths, and I think you play into the speed on that. You know, just the smaller you are, the faster you better be, and we're going to be small tomorrow.
It will be so interesting to see what the game plan is for Cincinnati. I mean, they are a physical team, big team, tall team, good rebounding, as you mentioned, but today they shot 38 threes. And made the most three-pointers in Big 12 tournament history. They started 2 of 13, by the way, from three-point land, and finished their next 25, 14 of 25.
That's a nightmare.
They made 16 threes in this game. Lukosius goes off for 31. Day-Day had, 29, something like that. I mean, it was pretty wild. By the way, those guys are not the bangers. So this is where it's interesting. We have a tiny lineup of KJ as your 5. Do you think they're going to try to get inside, get some foul trouble? I mean, try to go at the Hawks, or are they going to keep shooting threes?
I don't know.
That's why I'm kind of fascinated by this game. That's the puzzle here.
Yeah.
You would think that you might try to get the ball inside a little bit and see what kind of help defense we're going to bring, which is probably a lot. And at that point, you hope that they cashed a few of their threes in for the weekend yesterday or today.
You know, what does the pick and roll look like on offense with Dwan and KJ?
Offense could be wild. It could be fun.
Who knows what's going to happen? Yeah. I mean, you think that's a starting point between KJ and Dwan. I don't think that he goes to the short roll anymore. I think he goes to the hole.
Yes.
But I don't know.
Think of the spacing, too. I mean, that's the one knock on this team that we've seen all year, that when Hunter's in the game with KJ, KJ's defender just sags off, and he's not a threat outside. It's very clogged up. Only way you can kind of defeat some of that clogged up is when you make threes, and we don't. Well, in this game, you don't have to worry about that issue. We're not going to be clogging the center in this game. So it'll just be fascinating to see how it all plays out. I'm just kind of excited for this game just because it's going to be so different. And the expectations are so low, and it is so weird. It is not normal this time of year to have expectations like this in a Big 12 tournament game. And that's why, they should be able to play super free.
So if I were to ask you a couple questions here, fill in the blank. For the Jayhawks to be successful, not only against Cincinnati, but in the Big 12 tournament, Dwan Harris must be
a threat to score on every possession.
And that's the problem. We know he can.
Yeah.
You know, when he's going, you know, the defender's going under ball screens against Houston, and he doesn't do anything with it, then that creates havoc elsewhere if they know he's not going to do that. And if he's got to be a threat.
Who are you passing to, Juan? Hunter ain't out there. Kevin not out there.
All right, fill in the blank here. For the Jayhawks to be successful in the Big 12 tournament, KJ Adams must
rebound the basketball?
Yeah.
Is that the answer?
I think we know he can score. I think he'll get his points tomorrow.
He can play the five. We saw it for a whole season.
This is nothing new to him. This is like he's like, oh, this is what we did last year.
Yeah.
This is easy. It may be more comfortable for him to be a 6'5 center on an NCAA tournament team. So it made too much sense to bring in Hunter, but he may be more comfortable in that spot. All right.
And he needs to score, too. We're going to need him to score. Efficient scoring.
But the Jayhawks lose the game tomorrow if he's 14-1 or 14-3, you know, three rebounds. Like we lose the game.
Probably.
Or even if
unless
he's
we're
like,
making lots of threes.
Even if he's like 20 points and gets three rebounds, we probably lose the game.
Unless we're making the only way that's not true is if we go 12 of 20 from three. Or 15 of 35 from three.
Which
we might need to.
That who knows? Timberlake. All right, let's talk about that. For the Jayhawks to be successful, Nick Timberlake must
play better than he's played all year.
Well, I mean, senior night against K-State, I mean, that was are you asking for him for
more? I want him to
more?
Be what he was, what we signed him up for. I want him to be a 40% three-point shooter. I'm not asking for him to go off.
He's done that once this year.
I want him to go 4 for 10 from three.
That'd be great. He's getting up a lot of shots. That means he's a threat.
That is
40%
is
great.
Career percentage.
That's crazy.
I'm not asking you to go off.
All right. Who has to be the best player on the floor for the Jayhawks to be successful?
See, this one's interesting to me because I think there are lots of ways you can go with this. What if I told you that Johnny Furphy was the best player on the floor? And everyone else played their roles. You'd be pretty happy with that.
I think so.
What if I told you Juan was by far the best player on the floor? There's a way you could kind of spin that to be really good. What if I told you Timberlake was the best player on the floor? That means he probably was efficient shooting, made some three-pointers. Like, I don't think everyone has to be perfect to win, but we do need guys to step up and play roles that they probably haven't played this season. And that's it.
You're right about all of that. But the margin for error is very,
very,
very, very, very, very small.
I agree. I mean, at the end of the day, the way you win this game is you're highly efficient from three, or even marginally efficient from three. That's what I mean. Bill Self literally said, "Let that ball fly." That was his direct quote. How often have you heard Bill Self say, "Let that ball fly"? Ever. Ever.
maybe for half a season with Frank Mason and Devontae Graham.
Yeah.
And Sviatoslav. Like, that's it. That's the one time for half a season.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's been fool's gold.
Yeah, that's right.
It's been fool's gold. It's time to let that ball fly. And if they don't make the shots, they lose the game. If they make the shots, they win the game. I really think that's it. I think defensively we're going to be okay. I think they're going to rebound fine. They're obviously going to stress the heck out of it. They're going to gang rebound, all of the above. KJ, who's normally not crashing the boards, will 100% be crashing the boards. It'll be different, but they just need to make some shots. Let the ball fly.
You know, Kevin, there's a lot of college basketball going on right now. After this show right here, you'll be able to listen to, I believe it's Gonzaga playing in the WCC Championship.
St. Mary's. That'll be a great game.
Yeah, it'll be a great game. I'm going to go home and watch that. But right now we've got Oakland and Milwaukee for the Horizon League Championship. And this is a one seed versus a six seed. The Oakland is the one, and Milwaukee is the six. So, hey, a six can make it to the championship game, Kevin.
I'm going to have to get a little live bet on that.
It's not outrageous.
Who are we betting on?
We're betting on the six seed.
All right, let's do it.
Live line, Milwaukee. Go. Join us at home on this Milwaukee live line if you're on the Kansas side of the state line, everybody. All right, Kevin, I'm going to let you get that bet in here. But after the break, we're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit more about the Big 12, the Big 12 tournament bracket, some of the other teams, and maybe give you some tidbits on what's going to happen with these Big 12 teams and how they can fit into how you pick your bracket come Sunday. And that's right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back in, Jayhawk Talk Radio. We're talking Big 12 tournament. We got the bracket here in front of us, an updated bracket. We're going to walk through all the games tomorrow. Get down to Power and Light. What a fun day. It's the best day of the year, Andrew. You got back-to-back-to-back-to-back games. These are better than the Sweet 16 games, by the way. These are basically Sweet 16 games, or better, that you're going to be watching. And you get it all in just a couple tickets. You get the full experience. The best league, Andrew, in all of the NCAA. The best league. And you get to see it all at once. It's a great day.
It is a great day. You might see Shaq walking around.
You might.
You might see, I don't know, let's start a rumor. Is Jay-Z going to be walking around with Brett Yormark?
I like that.
They'll probably be giving out some sort of beef jerky of choice, whatever the beef jerky brand is. Some sort of lemony soda.
They always have the lemony soda.
I don't know which one they're going to give out this
year. Starry or Sprite or something. There's always some.
Lots of fun stuff going on, though.
You get free drinks no matter what. Now, they might be alcoholic, but they are free
drinks.
Did
you say Jay-Z, Andrew?
Yeah.
Is he going to be making a new Big 12 song?
Well, we've been trying to get him to do that. When
Brett Yormark became the Big 12 commissioner, we thought that he would leverage Israel because he used to be the president of Rock Nation. So
yeah,
yes, right. So Kyle just breaking had a big news. Reaction.
This is my shocked face.
Yes. Yeah. So Kyle's over here not understanding the Jay-Z reference, but this is not as absurd as it might sound, Kyle. This relationship because. It's like Jay-Z says, I want you to take over my company, Brett Yormark. And he's like, great, I'm gonna take it to some success. I'm going to parlay that into the commissioner of the Big 12. There's got to be kind of a merger here.
Somewhere.
Going on, right? We've got to join forces with Jay-Z. You know, we've already did a little bit of a business deal with the WWE.
Hey, you got to start somewhere.
Where I think that the most outstanding player of the tournament gets a belt.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean,
Yormark's calling his old contacts. He's clearly calling his old Rolodex. Jay-Z's on the list.
I mean, it's destiny that Hunter Dickinson stands up with the championship belt after a Big 12 tournament. So he's got to come back next year to fulfill that destiny.
100%.
Like, he's already a wrestling villain to most of the people in the Big 12.
Maybe he's got a cheerleader, best cheerleader. He's got to give him something.
Anyway, well, we've got to. So anyway, Jay-Z could happen, Kyle. Just saying, could happen.
It could happen.
So lots of stuff going on here at the Big 12 tournament. And least of all, you know, it's the rest of the stuff. The rest of it, the important stuff, is the games, Kevin.
There are some fun games tomorrow. Let's just walk down the list. I mean, let's see. Who's the first game here? I want to make sure I'm looking at it right because brackets aren't my forte. We got Central Florida BYU?
Central Florida, yeah. You know, this is a running theme on this show. Is it, if the bracket isn't a pure bracket...
If it's not equal on both sides, I struggle. Yeah. There's something about bracket.
It's like, are you telling me that the 6 is playing the 12? Like, or the 5 is playing the 12?
Don't judge me.
How is that possible? But yes,
I know I'm not alone on this. There have to be others that struggle with this.
The Big 12 staples of the of BYU and UCF are playing the first game of the Wednesday session, and that's the 11:30 tomorrow at the T-Mobile Center. We lost to both of these teams this year. Two newcomers to the league.
I got a note for you.
Yeah,
BYU won both games by an average of just 3 points.
Interesting.
So could be an interesting game there. I don't know what the line. We should have the lines in front of us.
Is
I'll
this
pull
the,
up.
The furthest team in the Northwest and the furthest team in
correct.
The Southeast for meeting in Kansas City for a rumble?
Yeah.
For
just everyone knows that when you match up BYU and Central Florida, the
all
Big 12
bets
games,
are off.
That's are off.
Throw
exactly.
out the record book.
BYU
out.
Is a 5.5-point favorite. Andrew, give me Central Florida.
I'll take that. I will take BYU. I will take
5.5.
I'll take that.
Okay. All right. There
let's skip the middleman here.
Yeah. No juice necessary. You and me straight up. All right. Next game up is TCU Oklahoma. Is that correct?
That
yes, it is.
Yes.
Well, the line, Andrew, I'll just give it now is TCU minus 2.5.
You know what? So TCU is the 8 seed. Oklahoma is the 9 seed. Oklahoma is in a weird spot where Porter Mosier had to come out and say, I am not going to DePaul.
Maybe.
There was this weird, he came out and said it, but there's this weird rumor going around, almost that it was a done deal.
Yeah.
That Porter Mosier, going back to Chicago, going into the Big East to coach to coach DePaul, would probably be a downgrade, but maybe he's not necessarily liking Oklahoma. And wants
Who
to get
would?
Back to Chicago, doesn't want to go to the SEC. I don't know. There's a lot of narratives out there, but can't be healthy for the team. Based on that alone, give me the Horned Frogs.
Going Horned Frogs, fair enough. There was a time in this season. Remember we talked about there was a time when KU was the preseason number one? There was a time when the Sooners were ranked number 7.
Wow.
In the AP poll. They got to 7. The one time they did play TCU Oklahoma, TCU won the game 80-71. At TCU. So I'm with you here. Give me TCU and the points. I like that. Next up, Andrew, we have, I believe it's the Texas K-State game, right?
Yes. You're good with brackets.
I'm doing great.
Hey, look at
you. I don't know why I'm driving this, but hey.
Yeah.
Texas is the 7 seed. K-State as the 10 seed. Texas safely in the tournament field, we think, correct? But K-State starting to get a few rumblings as a at-large with a run. We're going to need a big run here and 100% going to have to get through Texas. The line there, Andrew, is Texas minus 4.5. And they did play once. Texas won 62-56 and a home win in Austin. What do you think here?
This makes my stomach hurt a little bit.
Don't do it.
But I'm going to take the Wildcats.
You're taking them straight up, or you're taking them...
No, I'm taking them straight up.
Straight up?
Straight up.
Wow, okay. All right.
And it comes down to narrative again. K-State is hungry. I think Texas is limping toward the end here. Let's get into the SEC off in style. And, you know, I don't like to pay attention to this too much, but it just seems throughout the history of Texas in the Big 12, and this goes back almost 30 years, is that K-State always seemed to have their number. So it kind of would be apt, and this is both in football and basketball. They've knocked them out in certain spots, and that's true with Oklahoma as well. But K-State's knocked them out in certain spots, so let's give them a firm knock out the door to the SEC with a Wildcat victory tomorrow evening. And this is right before our game, so that it'll be full of purple, full of blue, and T-Mobile. We can all cheer for the Wildcats
together. It should be a pretty good showing from K-State fans. So they'll have the crowd advantage, you would think. Don't know what KU fans will cheer for in that game. Probably more neutral than anything. But, yeah, I don't hate it, Andrew.
I'll say this, though. If K-State's winning at the end,
and there's an SEC chant going on, the
Jayhawk fans will join
that. Jayhawk fans will be involved in that.
That's fair. That is fair. At that point, you might get a little love from KU fans. I like your prediction. I'm not willing to go there, but I think close game. Give me K-State in the points. You like them straight up. Get a little money line bet on that.
Straight up.
You can get money line. My goodness, you can get money line. Oh, never mind. It's not out yet. But you can get the points.
It's free money.
4.5.
It's free money, everybody.
How about it? All right. And then a last game, the one that we care most about here, KU as the sixth seed playing number 11 Cincinnati. Let's give some predictions here.
Okay, so is the line still at 1 or 1.5?
Let me refresh.
In favor,
let's find out,
of the Bearcats.
It was 1 or 1.5 earlier tonight. It is still 1 point. You can get KU as an underdog still on your favorite betting app.
I still like the Jayhawks. I made my bet earlier. I'm going with them. I think it's going to be an interesting game. I think there's enough talent there, but I think you ride with Bill Self. I think he wants to win this game. I think he's going to find it a challenge. And, you know, once he in heat of battle, I think he's going to want to go out there and all these guys are going to want to play. And to just show some pride for that game in Houston, if that game would have just been close, this game would be easy to write off. But they've got to go out and show something.
They're calling Cincinnati a scrappy team.
Ooh.
Scrappy team. KU has lost 3 of its last 4 games. Andrew, this is the lowest seed it has ever been in the 28-year history of a Big 12 tournament. To make matters worse, we don't have our two best players and leading scorers, All-Americans. You couldn't ask for a better opportunity, if you're Cincinnati, to beat Kansas. However, there's something to be said for culture wins.
Ooh.
There's something to be said for it. It's happened a lot. Give me the Hawks, too. Give me the Hawks, too. I might be crazy here, but give me the Hawks, too. I think it's going to be one of those games that they're playing so loose and free. They're going to come out of the locker room just wildly, like, having fun. Just total fun. Like, just completely loose. Because they had no other reason not to be. Like, you can tighten up when you get to the NCAA tournament. This game should just be fun. And you know why? Because all of them know they got the green freaking light. How awesome is that as a player?
Yeah, El Marco.
Shoot away!
El Marco loves
no bad shots.
AAU. Go play AAU
go
ball.
Go play AAU ball. Roll the ball out there and shoot. Let it fly. That's what Bill Self said. Let the ball fly. Hey, Kyle, who you got? Who you got?
That lineup Bill Self, you know, ran through on Hawk Talk. That does not give me much confidence.
Oh,
Andrew, I know you already placed your bet, but I mean, still, I know KJ.
Kyle, let the ball fly.
He's played that 5 before, but
we have
if KJ does one of those man floaters from 3, then I'll switch my bet.
I want the floater. I want the 3-point push shot. The shot put from 3. That's all I want from KJ, one time.
All right, we have 1 more hour to convince Kyle to switch his opinion. So that's what we're going to do.
That's our new goal.
For the next hour, we're going to convince Kyle to take the Jayhawks against the Bearcats tomorrow. We got a lot more coming. We're going to talk, look ahead to March Madness
a little bit.
Well, you know, maybe some value bets and look forward to Selection Sunday. Obviously, we're going to talk some more Big 12, more Jayhawk, more lineups. But you know what? We've got that hour. So be thinking of your arguments. I think I can talk everybody into it.
Okay.
Okay.
That's
so
our goal.
Stick around for hour number 2, and that's right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
And the winner's host, my man. Speech. First of all, I want to thank my community.
Breaking news, Jay-Z is playing on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Not at the Big 12 tournament that we know of.
Yes.
That we know of.
It's called growth mindset, Kevin.
Gotta will it.
He's not there yet. Not out of the question.
We do know Shaq's going to come down.
Close.
We're getting there.
This is year number 2 for Shaq.
Who do you think Brett Yormark knows better, Shaq or Hove?
Well, this is the second year they've been together at the Big 12. And I'm sure they're best friends.
Yeah, but he and Hove are together
for a long
time.
They're probably sharing a top floor of the Sheridan.
for this week. Obviously, he's better friends with
JD. What is he doing? All he does is go to Super Bowl games and basketball games. He's not doing anything.
I would say this: Jay-Z probably has better things to do, but that's not true.
That's not true.
He doesn't have anything better to do than this.
There is not anything he could be doing more important. And for his buddy, for his friend. Your Mark has done a fantastic job as commissioner, but the one thing he just hasn't quite pulled off yet...
He's got to deliver
Hove to the Big 12 tournament. You got to bring Hove to Kansas City.
That's almost kind of what we were promised when he was hired.
Is it?
That was the promise. not implicitly.
I will say that it was the first thing everyone talked about.
Right.
It was like, who's this guy? Oh, he ran Rock Nation. I wonder if we're going to get Jay-Z. That was pretty much the reaction. I did talk to him about this. I know the story. I was in a...
And he looked at you like you were an insane
person. I was in an elevator with him, and he's hard to miss. He's a little guy, nice suit. And
always impeccably dressed.
Yeah, very, very nice suit. And I said, hey, good to meet you. He was talking to everybody. Hey, you're talking to the elevator person, talking to me, talking to whoever. And I introduced myself, and I was like, hey, Brett, when are we going to get Jay-Z as a performer in Kansas City? Because it was at the Big 12. And he kind of looked at me like he wasn't sure if I was serious, but I was fully committed to the bit. Like, I gave him very serious, will you answer the question eyes? And then the elevator opened and we never got the full picture.
Oh, he wanted to keep you, he wanted to keep
suspense.
You hanging. Yeah, he didn't want to give that away early.
He didn't want
us to be on, Sports Radio A10 WHB breaking news like, hey, Kevin, he's coming next year. Performing Wednesday night.
What if I got that text?
What if
Brett found me and said,
I'm gonna let you break this news.
You were the first to really put this idea in my head. No one else ever said anything about this but you.
Jay-Z, if you're listening out there, I think it's important for you to holler at your boy.
Okay.
I believe that's what they say.
Uh-huh.
He needs to holler at his boy
and
get down to the T-Mobile Center.
Just get down there. Not much more to ask. Andrew, We've got the baby Hawks, the baby Jays, the seven scholarship players playing
like COVID year.
It does kind of feel like that. Like something's just off, right? But it's going to be one of those things. I don't know if you've logged on to Twitter.com or message boards or anything like that. Even talking to your fellow colleagues across the cubicle about the Kansas Jayhawks. The mood out there, not great. Not great.
Pretty sour. Pretty dour,
pretty
and
rough.
Sour. Pretty, no one feels... there are the diehards, and I would probably consider myself among them, who are holding out hope. There are people all along the spectrum of hope, but I think it's the number has definitely tilted down.
And I would say...
I will say this, though.
Okay.
Before Hawk Talk yesterday, I was much more down in the dumps.
You just like you got the selection committee.
It works.
It's just pure propaganda from Bill Self.
It's worked for 21 years, and he's usually right.
He just went pure propaganda on you, and he got you.
He got me.
He got you. This is what he does. He's a politician.
Because I was ready... To pack it in. We talked about this choose your own adventure. We're like, we can make this season what we want it to be.
It's got the riz,
we can live our own narrative as Jayhawk fans. And so I was like, we went through these and it was abandon all hope. I wasn't there.
Okay.
But maybe I was.
There's a lot of people who are there.
Right. I was closer to,
Bill Self might have been there after the Houston game.
Saturday night, that's where Bill Self was.
Bill Self might have been on the abandoned
hope. I was there with him.
He was looking at portal tape in his mind.
Yeah, well, that's
playing it just right there.
I think that just right above that is like, all right, get the portal ready, because get that on three live portal rankings fired up. Start making some phone calls. Maybe text Liam McNeely one more time.
How about that?
McNeely.
Liam McNeely, you might not know this, is a top 15 recruit committed to Indiana, asks out of his letter of intent with a lot of buzz.
So he was down to
smoke.
Was down to two schools, and it was Indiana and Kansas. Texas was in the running, but went out early. So he was down to two. Does that leave the Jayhawks as the only suitor left? I don't know.
The only thing that makes you nervous about that is probably means no Furphy.
Oh, sure, definitely.
Probably means no Furphy. Hey, anyway.
Maybe so both. Fired but, so portal. Anyway, this is a discussion we would
this
be
is,
having.
This is what
if we were in that category.
And you're just done with the year.
That's what we'll be talking about.
You've written it off.
But we're not. We're done talking about Liam McNeely.
I don't know about you, but I've seen several people.
Have you watched his YouTube videos, by the
way? Yeah.
They're pretty good.
He looks like fun. He looks like
but we're not going to do it.
We're not going to do that.
We're not going to do that. We're going to go on. The next category is, who cares about the Big 12 tournament? Let's just get the practice time. You know, we just ignore it. Let's get back to Lawrence as fast as possible.
I would say that of these four, this one is probably the smallest of the four. What do you think?
Oh, there's five.
Oh, there's five.
But so I put this one like in the middle. So this is like your median.
Okay.
You're not hot or cold. You're right there in the middle. Let's just get this thing over with.
I feel like people are either hot or cold.
And so that's there you go. It's pretty bipolar here. So the next one here is, are you suggesting that no one believes in us? Are you suggesting that this team was preseason number one, has talent, you know, coming out of its ears, is an underdog against Cincinnati on the Wednesday of the Big 12 tournament? Come on. Are you telling us that no one believes in us? Are you giving us locker room material, just bulletin board material, just putting it up on the board? You know, post that DraftKings line up on the bulletin board in there in the T-Mobile Center.
They're gonna.
You know, just watch. Just watch us. Weirder things have happened. And then, of course, there's Bill Self. This is the number five. This is the all-in. I'm ready to go. Just wait till we're healthy.
Well,
just wait till we're healthy.
He did convince you.
I'm convinced. Kyle, are you there yet?
Kyle, are you there yet? You ready?
I'm going to need to hear some more.
He's going to need some more. Okay. I'm going to put a little poll out there on the Twitter X of this temperature check for KU fans. Option one, abandon all hope. Option two, portal season. Option three, who cares? What do we call this? Who cares?
Who cares about the Big 12 tournament?
Who cares about Big 12 tournament? All right. What's the next one?
Are you suggesting no one believes in us?
Well, I got that many characters.
You bought the upgrade. You're good.
No, that doesn't work on polls. All right, no one believes in us, question mark?
And then just wait till we're healthy.
Oh, I can only do four.
Oh.
Bummer. All right, we're going to get rid of who cares about Big 12.
There you go.
This is live radio, folks. I'm going to give an update on this later in the hour.
I will say that Twitter does skew towards the negative.
Uh-huh.
No one on Twitter likes to say anything positive because it doesn't get clicks and it doesn't get much engagement. You have to go elsewhere for that. So I'm gonna balance that poll. I'm gonna weight that poll a little bit differently when you give me the results. I'm gonna skew it to however I want it to be.
Okay,
is what I'm telling you.
I'm just trying to help Kyle. We're gonna get Kyle.
We're
right.
gonna bully him into taking the Jayhawks tomorrow.
I mean, I know on a Twitter poll you can only vote for one option. I mean, is it possible to be all four?
Oh, I'm all four. I'm all five.
You got to pick one, oh, yeah. Kyle. You got to pick your camp. It's the time of choosing.
it's time for choosing, and you must choose to be irrationally overconfident.
that's the only option here. This is the time of year for that. By the way, the first vote came in, Andrew. I'll tell you. Portal season.
Portal season. Okay. All right.
All right. That was that. We'll see what happens here. Listen, I told you I'm still temperature check somewhere in the middle. I think that the until I see that the team is healthy, if they come out in that three seed, we are 4-13 matchup, whatever matchup it is, KU comes out as a four seed and all the guys are back and playing well, then I'm back. Then wait till we're healthy, I'm back. You can get me there, but until then, I'm not going to be there.
Then you're going to be back.
Okay. Yeah. You believe Bill Self. You believe the propaganda.
I see the promised land. I see that's where we're headed.
Dude, Bill Self is a master at this stuff. He's better at this than almost anybody. Not just like college basketball coaches. If you just put him in the category of people that are good at this stuff, he's at the top of the list. He's better than politicians. He's better than, I mean, he's one of the best. There's a fun story. I was talking to a national writer one time, and this, you can probably find him if you Googled hard enough to what I'm about to say, but he used to work at the Des Moines Register. And the presidential candidates would always come through Iowa, right, for the, you know, early for the first state of voting. And so he got to meet all the presidential candidates. He was on that beat for a while. And then he ultimately switched over and started doing college hoops and college stuff, and then, you know, went on to do some other things. But he said the only person in his life who ever reminded him of Bill Clinton was Bill Self.
Oh, definitely.
The only person he's ever met in his entire, he met a lot of people, met everybody. The only person who he'd ever met that had the charisma, the want to have a beer with him kind of mentality was Bill Self. And you could see that. I mean, he's got you.
He can talk to anybody. He can make a self-deprecating joke feel like he's the most important.
He also remembers names.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Like, I mean, and just think about what he has to do. Not only does he have to convince a 18-year-old to come, he's got to convince a 65-year-old donor to donate a bunch of money. So he's got to convince moms and dads and kids and rich donors and all the media to do all these things that he wants them to do. And that's not even his job. His job is to coach basketball.
Yeah. Well, you got to do and even more these days, college basketball coaches have a lot on their plate, and it is not just coaching basketball anymore.
All right, Kevin, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the NCAA tournament. We're going to take a step beyond Big 12 for a moment. We're going to talk about NCAA tournament, talk about what this tournament means for seeding for the Big 12, see what Bill Self has to say about that, and just, you know, see what this team can look like when they're healthy.
Okay.
Just get ready when they're healthy.
We're going to get Kyle there, too.
We're going to get him there. All right. All right. That's right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Turn the music up in the headphones.
Turn the music up in the headphones. Jay-Z's coming to Kansas City. Crazy.
We're willing it into existence.
If we just keep saying it, maybe he will perform at next year's Big 12 tournament.
I hope so.
If we just keep saying it.
That's what we were promised.
That is what we were promised. Brett Yormark, I'm pretty sure, implicitly promised.
Right. Just from the hire.
Just from the hire.
Or just someone from the
How else did he get the job? Brett Yormark wouldn't have got that job but for Jay-Z.
You know, he's done a great job. I think you give him A pluses across the board.
Couldn't agree more.
Delivering Jay-Z.
He's got one more thing to do.
Incomplete.
It's one more thing. Let's talk bracketology. Welcome back in. Sports Radio 810 WHB. We have Jayhawk Talk Radio on the air. Kevin Meckley, Andrew Payne. We got Kyle. We got to convince Kyle that the Hawks are back before the end of this hour.
Let me tell you, and it's not necessarily just about this tomorrow Cincinnati game, because that lineup, yes, it's very scary. It's not proven. It's not tested. But let's talk about the Jayhawks generally heading into the NCAA tournament. I have Bracket Matrix pulled up in front of me, Kevin.
Oh, fun.
Bracket Matrix is an aggregator of all the bracketologists, all the good, all the bad, and it puts you into a category to see kind of where you are, you know, benchmarked against all the other schools when you peg all of them together. And if you haven't seen this, I'll let you guess here. What seed does Bracket Matrix aggregate KU to right now?
I would guess a 4.
It's a 3.
Okay.
Now, they are the lowest-ranked 3.
Right there.
You know, just behind Creighton, Baylor, and Duke, but ahead of Kentucky, Illinois, Alabama, and Auburn.
Hmm.
So those SEC teams, you know, maybe they can, you know, beat
somebody each other. Separates himself there, yeah.
Somebody can maybe jump up, but maybe a couple move down.
Who are the other 3s?
So Creighton, Baylor, Duke, Kansas are the 3s.
Okay.
So this is kind of where we start looking at jockeying for position. So I'll walk you through. I think we know the 1s. Maybe there's an outside chance.
Yeah, there's a chance for the 4th one.
There's an outside chance that North Carolina or Arizona jump up there.
Tennessee, if they win the.
Yeah, but I think that's our 4. So our 4 are, you know, Purdue, Connecticut, Houston, and Tennessee. That seems to be the developing consensus. Now, North Carolina is sniffing at Tennessee's heels in terms of this model. Arizona seems to be 2s across the board.
Can I tell you something that you may not know?
What's that?
KU has beaten 3 of the top 1 seeds.
Well, isn't that
on that list?
Yeah.
You may not know that. People might forget. Kyle, did you know that?
Did
you
know that?
Did you know KU beat 3 1 seeds? Okay, just want to make sure you knew that. All right, let's continue.
You can throw in Kentucky. They're on the four line. You can throw in Baylor. They're on the three line. There's a lot in there.
Okay.
I mean, there's a good resume.
Okay.
That you can make.
Thank
for
God.
This team that was at different points in the year, not necessarily at the end.
Thank God, resume still counts for something.
Yeah, that is interesting. I don't think the numbers or the metrics are going to do this team any favors. But maybe, I mean, the numbers and metrics had them as a three or a four, but we just, you know, in our heads, believe them to be a one the whole season, and that's not necessarily in the cards right now.
Yeah. So I think, interestingly, if we're talking through the Big 12 tournament and the impact it may have on KU's seeding, I think the upside of anything is still probably a three. Would you agree with that?
I think two's out of the question.
Two's out of the question. So they go and win the whole thing. Probably still at three. Now, you might be in Omaha. You might have some advantages to that, but probably best we can do a three. Now, if they win tomorrow, I think that guarantees them at least a four. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's...
They're not going to drop to
there's,
five.
There's some talk that someone...
Maybe a three.
Someone was throwing out, like, oh, you know, if TCU wins in there, Texas Tech jumps up, and BYU goes four, then maybe they fall to a six. I don't think that's
going to happen. No,
that's,
no.
That was nonsense.
Hey, Bill Self convinced him already that we're going to be healthy.
Hey,
it's all good.
We're going to be like, he's done a really good job to put us in a position to where this tournament doesn't matter. Just, you know, he can talk his way into that.
Sure.
So we've got some Bill Self audio, and Kevin, you know a little bit more about this, but this is his take on where this team is in regards to the tournament.
Let's hear it.
Instead of being a two seed or whatever, you know, you're not. You're going to have the first game is going to be a very tough game, and the second game, you know, you're going to be playing somebody that, you know, if it's a coin flip game. That's how it works in the tournament. You know, teams that have been four, five, six seeds or eight seeds or whatever have played for the national championship. But they played really well in those coin flip type games. And, you know, you got to win those games. So for us, the start of the tournament will be probably a little bit different. Doesn't mean that we can't have success all the time, but we can't play poorly and expect to have success. And so, you know, which, to be honest with you, it's the way it should be all the time. Teams that play the best win. And we've certainly got the manpower to play the best. Now, we do need our full complement of guys, but, you know, from the sound of it, it looks like we're certainly moving in that direction, which is more than we've had for the last, you know, 6 weeks or whatever.
So there you hear it. There you hear it. Bill Self say that, you got to play well. And if you play well, you'll be fine.
And he also said, just throw out February.
Pretty much.
Just throw it out.
Just throw it out.
Just get rid of February.
The
Other than the Houston game.
He did say one thing, though, that is interesting. The difference between between playing a 16 and a 13 is notable. Like, there are some 13 seeds that are pretty good.
The 16s are the ones that barely get in.
Right.
They, you know, maybe upset somebody in one of those lower-end conferences. 13s deserve to be there. I mean, they're probably low
talking
conference
like
or mid-major
Charleston
conferences that win. You know, they deserve to be there. They're not quite in that at-large level, but they're good.
Yeah, I'm looking at some bracketology now. 13 seed Charleston Cougars. They're first in the CAA. They got some decent wins this year. That's the kind of team you might run into. They've beat some pretty good teams this year, and that's the kind of matchup that you don't love to see over a 16 seed, which is usually a school that no one maybe has even ever heard of. But the key takeaway Bill Self says is play well
and win,
and you might have a chance. The teams that are playing well win.
I do agree with him that it's really that first weekend. Once you get to the second weekend, like, everybody's gonna be good.
Yeah,
you know, if we're a four seed, we're gonna have to go up against a one theoretically. But, you know, at that point, you know, especially this year, I mean, maybe Purdue and UConn have separated themselves, and we know about Houston. But, you know, everybody's kind of in the same category. The difference between a Tennessee and a Baylor to me, or a Tennessee and a Duke to me, like, there's not a lot.
Agreed. Agreed.
And so, like, you know, throw it into a lottery and figure out who you're going to play amongst those top 16. I mean, unless it's those top two, I don't think there's a big difference.
So back to the Big 12 tournament then. The upside is a 3, probably. Downside a 5 if we lose to Cincinnati?
I definitely think. Like, that's in the, cards. That's in the cards. I mean, I think that what would happen is that they would probably be on the 4 line and then moved down for injury if they don't believe the injury talk.
Yeah, I mean, in 12 fives, as everyone knows, do a lot
upset
of
upset central.
Upset central. You always got to pick a 12 over 5. 4 would be better than 5. Obviously, they have something to play for.
In storyline to look out for, Bill Self at Kansas has never been below a 4.
Mm-hmm.
And even in recent memory, hasn't been below a 3. It's been ones and twos for really the last decade, other than 2021 and 2019. But otherwise, you know, it's going back a ways. I mean, it's early days. It's with the, freshman Mario Chalmers when he was a 4, sophomore.
Let me give you just a quick stat on that. Since 03, 1-2-4-3-4, that was his start, and then he went 1-1-3-1-1-2-1-2-2-1-1-1-4-3-1-1-4, and 4 is a question mark. That was my guess for this year.
Wow.
Those are his seed lines at KU. You put that up against literally any other program in that stretch of time. I did it against Coach K just for fun.
Well, there's years he didn't make the tournament. A couple of them.
I took those out just to even to try to make it. Even when taking those out, KU still has a better average. Even taking out their absolute worst year, KU has a better average. So, yeah, this is a storyline. When KU fans are freaking out about this is the worst thing ever, when you see, Andrew, that the leading poll of the question it still says portal season, you understand that KU fans have grown, I don't want to say spoiled, but
yeah, well,
maybe a little.
We can feel that way, but we have to recognize our privilege, Kevin.
We have
to check our privilege that it is a privilege to be concerned about a 4 seed.
That is fair.
Be concerned about a 5 seed.
That is fair. If you want to know an update, though, Kyle, just letting you know, portal season is leading the poll, but number 2 is wait till we're healthy.
It's coming back.
It's making a rally. All That's right. 215 votes so far.
Wow. So everybody get out there on the X machine on Twitter.
We're going to bring Kyle along.
Go to Jayhawk Talk. Vote for, you know, we can all campaign for these items here, but vote for just wait till we're healthy, which is a week from Thursday.
There you go.
That's when it's going to happen. That's the magical day when we'll be healthy. A week from Thursday.
Let me just do it. We did that bit in the last hour about Milwaukee and watching the game, you know, and someone responded and said, hopefully Coach Self is watching Milwaukee. BJ Freeman would be a great addition.
That individual is definitely in portal season. Early scout for portal season.
Love it.
Keep an eye on that guy. Keep an eye on that name.
Let's watch BJ Freeman. Put him down. Put your Google alerts for BJ Freeman.
All right. So let's get back to this tournament, this Big 12 tournament. Does this tournament matter?
Yes, of course it does.
Of course it does.
It's too much fun. It's too much fun for so many reasons. But this one in particular matters to me because of how weird it is. It's just so weird. And I know some people use weird as like, I'm over it. I'm a sicko, I guess, and just wildly fascinated to see how the Baby Jays, led by a 6'5 center and guys who have not played alpha all year, suddenly get thrust into new situations and get to shoot green light all game.
Right.
Like, show me what that looks like for funsies. I'm in.
For some of these guys who are not the headline names on this team, it's opportunity. You know, Dwan Harris, show that this is your team. This is supposed to be your team. Show that it's your team.
This is time for El Marco to put some good tape down just in case.
Just in case. Johnny, are you a lottery pick or not?
Yeah, show us.
Show us that you're a lottery pick against the Cincinnati team. If you expect to be playing against the Denver Nuggets next year, you better show up against the Bearcats.
That's right.
And then, you know, KJ, maybe dunk.
Maybe
just do some dunks.
No,
dunks,
I want to see three pointers. You want to take the next step, KJ?
Don't ask too much.
All the three pointers.
Dunk and rebound, KJ. There you go. And Timberlake, just make some threes. There we go. That's it. I think we're there.
Okay.
Yeah, I think this in tournament is important for seeding and just for maybe this morale, this team, just to show that some of the bench can do some stuff and that we can maybe not have to rely on Hunter and and Kevin all that much? I mean, or as much as we have in the past. I mean, they average 20 points a game apiece. It's tough.
Well, listen, if you have your own take on Choose Your Own Adventure, give us a call, 913-310-810. We'll open some phone lines just in case. If you got a take, are you in portal season or are you in the...
Just wait.
Just wait. Just wait till we're healthy.
Are you saying that no one believes in us? Oh, I love that.
If you got a take, bring it in. And we'll see if anyone gives a ring. We'll see.
All right, give that number again.
You know the number, 913-310-810.
All right, give us a call, and we're going to maybe take some of those calls on the way back. We're also going to talk some more national landscape. We've got Selection Sunday on Sunday, this Sunday. We're going to be doing a show at 7 o'clock that night, giving you all
right
your bracket needs. But we want to get you caught up early, get you knowing some names in the Big 12 that maybe you should be fading. Be strong on, and then nationally we're gonna talk about some Purdue. We're gonna talk about some UConn. Where are they sitting? Maybe give you some dark horse value, and that's right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The ball is tipped, and there you are. This song. You're running for your life. Kind of sucks. I'm just going to say it. That's my take. I think it's an overrated song. I think we need a new song.
You have a Luther Vandross guy?
I got nothing against him. One Shining Moment is overrated. Is that a bad college basketball take? If I call myself a college basketball junkie, can I have that take?
I have a little more nuance.
I also don't like Red Panda, and I get...
Oh, you're
brutalized
get out of
for that.
Here.
Yeah.
Get out of
See?
Here.
Not a Red Panda guy.
Get out of here.
Give me Frisbee Dogs all day over Red Panda.
They haven't really done a whole lot of halftime shows this year.
Did she fall? I think
we
she
need
fell.
To get Travis Goff in that chair across from us and ask him, what happened to the Frisbee Dogs? What happened to Red Panda? We're not doing halftime entertainment anymore.
Martin Cover is still a thing?
That's more of a late night thing.
Okay. All right.
That takes a while.
All
that's,
right.
That's a long production. But anyway, Kevin,
not a one shining moment guy.
Well, here's my nuanced take. I really, really like it when we win.
Well, sure.
And then I absolutely hate it.
That's probably.
I never get there though. I'm not sticking around to watch one shining moment
unless you win.
Yeah.
And then you're like, guys, get the popcorn ready.
This song is the best song.
Luther's coming.
This is the best song.
Even then, I don't really like it.
Well, that's your problem.
It's a me problem. It's a me problem. Let's talk about the Big 12, Andrew, and their chances in the big dance.
Yeah, so this conference is getting potentially nine teams, with K-State potentially
probably.
Being in there. So who knows? In the top 25 this week, I think the Big 12 put 8 teams in the top 25. Which is outrageous.
Wow.
I think I saw some stat about that. But anyway, there's a lot of teams competing for some heavy NCAA tournament money here. So let's go through some of these other teams that are not the Kansas Jayhawks and kind of get your temperature on, is this team a contender? Is this team, you know, maybe not be the highest seed, but maybe can make some noise? Or should you just fade a couple of these teams? They've kind of rode some coattails this year. So let's start with the top of this conference. They're new to it, but they are the champions to it, and that's the Houston Cougars. Kevin, the Houston Cougars, 3 losses on the season. One of them's the Kansas Jayhawks. They'll be a 1 seed. They'll be maybe the overall number 1 seed. What? How are you playing with this team? Is this team that is an auto Final Four, or what are you doing with this team?
Listen, the team that won the best league by 2 full games probably deserves the overall number 1 seed.
I think so too.
I mean,
I think the
computers have loved them all season.
We want to set that precedent.
We should set that precedent. If you can beat us by 30, that alone, just that, just give me that. Like, what else do you want to see from Houston? It is probably, if they are not the overall number 1, they should react the way we reacted last year when we didn't get the number 1 seed in the Midwest. When Houston got it, actually, didn't they? I think Houston
That's
got
right.
it.
They stole it.
So they have a legitimate gripe there. I would be the one thing that scares me about Houston in the big dance is a lot of their points come from rebounds, come from a style of play that in the Big 12 works. And if you get the wrong ref crew, if you get something that's just a little bit different, you're in a different world, may not always work. If they go cold and are not getting the, you know, the a favorable whistle in a physical type game, that could hurt them. They could get bit.
I think so, too. I think that the danger for them is oftentimes the danger that the Jayhawks face as a one seed is, you know, you whatever worked for you during the Big 12 season isn't working, and the other team gets hot from three. You sort of saw that, you know, a couple times. But with this team, you get an unfavorable whistle because they're going to be physical, and that will travel, right? Their defense
sure.
and their physicalness will travel. But if they're not getting a favorable whistle, or if Cryer's not hitting the threes, if Shedd gets shut down like he did against the Jayhawks, that opens up some possibilities for some offense to come the other way. You know, you could see it happening. But I think that beyond, even more than, like, say, Purdue or UConn, I think that the defense and the toughness of Houston travel well. So I think I'll having them go far.
Okay. Let's look at the two line. Because right now, Andrew, I think the only one there may be Iowa State?
Yes.
Iowa State, Andrew. We are looking at a team that is probably their best season in at least
a long time.
7, 8 years?
I mean,
I'm trying to remember that one team that was really good like 8 years ago.
You know, under Hoiberg, I don't think they were ever a one seed. I think they were a two a couple times.
Yeah. Here we go. 24 wins is their most in 7 years.
Okay,
that's one. They finished second in KenPom adjusted efficiency, defensive efficiency. They have not made a Final Four since 1944.
Wow!
Did you know that?
I did not know.
I didn't know that either. I just read that. What do you think of Iowa State?
They're tough, and it's almost a similar story with the Houston Cougars, is that their defense can travel. And what do they say about March? March is about guards. They've got two really, really good guards. And those two guards can take them a long way. I think that there are some deficiencies maybe further down that lineup. But they've got a good freshman. They've got some experience at the end of that bench and who get that those minutes. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. I think that I think I'll have Iowa State going far too. When they've been a higher seed, they've struggled on occasion, but I think this year may be a spot. And let's not forget, TJ Otzelberger always over delivers. I mean, he's always underestimated and he's always exceeding expectations. And I think that'll happen again this year. And I don't mean to be picking like above that. I'm picking all these. There'll be some below ones, but those two are some money makers for you.
Defense travels, yes. Can they score enough? Question mark.
Yeah, I mean, all those games will be 55-50.
Yeah, I mean that is the question. And again, in the big dance, you might get bit by someone who's just wildly efficient on offense. And even if you are a terrific defensive team, we've seen this with like the Virginias of the world. If you can't blow out a team and you keep them within striking distance, and a couple things go wrong, you never know. I think Iowa State's really good. I would probably be fading Iowa State a little bit relative to the field.
Okay, I think I'm a little above that.
Okay,
next is Baylor. I think I'm fading Baylor.
I'm not Baylor. Baylor, I kind of like.
Ooh, tell me why. They don't play defense.
Well, that is true. They've had a really sneaky good season, though. Like, no one really seems to talk about them. And they had 9 quad one wins. They didn't lose any bad games any time the whole season.
There's that.
And maybe I come back to kind of preseason expectations, and this was a team that we talked about a lot as maybe a challenge for the Jayhawks. I think they're sneaky good. And we'll obviously have a chance potentially to play Baylor if we get through Cincinnati. So that would be a fun game to see if they stay on that three line. If somehow Kansas proceeds to beat Baylor, talk me into a KU as a three seed. I might be able to get there.
All right, we're gonna do a twofer. I'm gonna group these together. Texas Tech and BYU. Texas Tech is currently per bracket matrix is a 6 seed and BYU is a 5 seed. Which team goes further?
Ooh, that's a great question. Give me BYU.
Me too. I was hoping you'd take Texas Tech.
I could argue it if you want me to.
No, I mean, I think we saw what that team can do in Allen Fieldhouse. And, you know, to do it in a hostile environment like that and to really have a good Big 12 season. I think a lot of people had written them off as like this isn't going to be their year. They're not going to have much success in this first year in the Big 12. They really did have a good season. You know, and they've got some experience, as we've talked about. But I like this BYU team. I think they could be a Sweet 16 team.
I think you're right. We've seen their ceiling, and it's pretty good.
All right, further down, I'm gonna group these together too. Texas, Oklahoma. Well. SEC. Both are probably in. Texas is certainly in. Oklahoma, I think that they, you know, if when they're sitting there, everybody in their team meeting room, everybody dressed in their Oklahoma sweats, you know, in their little theater watching this thing, they got the camera on them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some nervous sweating going on.
Yeah.
You know, they're probably in.
I think they're
right.
In.
They're probably in. You know, this team was ranked 7 overall at early January. Not had the best Big 12 season. Maybe Porter Mosier's on his way out. Don't know about that. But you know, between those two teams,
you're a top 40 KenPom team. 43 in the net, I think. I thought,
it's on you're, the. You're okay. Probably in, but
there's
it's
a little
but
sweat.
But you're like, we're probably good, right?
They're probably good.
They talk yourself into it. And
they're probably like
good.
A 10 or 11 seed.
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
Right? But between those two teams, the two exiting teams.
Give me Texas. I mean, Texas has actually had a nice little end of the season. I mean, they've won 3 or 4. They beat Oklahoma straight up pretty handily, as I recall. And I just think they have more firepower.
Well, certainly they've got a lot of talent. You know, Tyrese Hunter there has been killing it really the last couple of weeks. I mean, not that he hasn't been good all season, but you know they've really shown what he is. This is the transfer from Iowa State. So Dylan Dessou made first team All Big 12. There's a lot going on for that team. Not necessarily the record they wanted in the Big 12 on their way out, but certainly something to be contended with. Are either of those teams a Sweet 16 team though?
I think Texas could be in the Sweet 16.
Okay, I don't think so.
I mean, I'm not betting on it. I'm not taking it between the two. I could look down after the first weekend and convince myself that I could see Texas there.
Okay, I don't see it, but you know, it is what it is. And then, lastly, to close out here, what seed will K-State be in the NIT?
Oh boy,
jumped right to it. Hmm. Now, obviously, if they do well in the Big 12 tournament. Semifinal, you probably start talking yourself into it a little bit. Final, you probably start talking into it a little bit. And obviously, if you get the auto bid, K-State has a lot of work to do to get into the NCAA tournament. But if you're looking at NITology, what do they have K-State?
I don't know. I don't know. Here's the funny thing. This is a sad thing for me. Or maybe it's a good thing. I don't really know how NIT seeding and how it really works. Like,
I'm just assuming
NIT,
it's like the rest of it, right?
Yeah, it's like the rest, right? The ones that didn't get like in. So, like, the top four out get, like, the one seeds.
Yeah,
and
I think
then,
so. I think they just all
so
the way
I'll
down.
Call them, like, a three seed, I guess. I mean, is that bad that I just don't know how the NIT works?
I like that you don't.
Isn't that great? Like, part of me is like, maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, I hope we never have to figure that out.
I think they need to win a lot of games in Kansas City, like more than
some to play for. Big game against Texas tomorrow. A lot of games coming up. All right, Kevin, we're going to talk a little bit more on the national side of the story. We're going to wrap up, you know, what this Big 12 tournament is going to be like, and maybe we'll take a call. But in any case, we'll wrap up the poll and see what the temperature is of this Jayhawk fan base. But we're going to close it out right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Breaking news, at least to us, in the last 40 minutes. Brett Yormark, who we've been lauding throughout the program, except for the one thing he hasn't brought us, and that's Jay-Z performing in Kansas City, has announced that the Big 12 tournament will remain in Kansas City at least through 2031. Take that, Las Vegas.
Yeah, let's put to bed the rumors. We're not going to Las Vegas. We're not going back to Dallas. We're not doing any of that. This is where it belongs. It's such a fun time.
It's the best. It's the absolute best. This week is so much fun in Kansas City. Get down to P&L. You got to get down there. Just go have a few drinks. Just take it all in. Weather should be decent. Get down there. Got to do it.
All right, Kevin, before we close out here, I want you to give me we're going to talk an NCAA tournament, and then we're going to wrap up with the Big 12. But if I were to give you Purdue, Houston, UConn versus the field, which one are you taking?
The field, all day.
Okay.
Not yet. Not even.
It is a popular bet.
I get it.
And I think it's pretty close.
It probably is, but give me the field all the time in those bets. Give me the field.
I think you're right.
I understand it, right? It's the top three teams, the teams that have probably separated themselves from the rest of the field largely. But might I remind you that they call it madness?
Oh.
They call it madness. And here's why, Andrew. A lowly four seed from the Big 12 has a chance to make a run. A lowly four seed, maybe five, who just happens to get healthy at the right time.
Oh.
Who just happens to get on positive variance from three-point land.
Who no one believed in.
Who no one believed in. Well, in preseason they believed in.
Yeah.
But not recently.
But later on, no one.
Throughout the
when
course
the bracket
of the season,
was set, no one believed in.
Yeah. No, I think I would take the field. What about you?
It's really close for me. I don't bet with my rational side of my brain. I bet with my irrational side of my brain, especially when it comes to the Jayhawks. So, like, there's going to be a sprinkle of some Jayhawks in there. But if I, and you know what? I put a bracket together. I really don't like to put another team, even if I've got money behind it. So if I'm putting a bracket into a pool.
Yeah, I'm the opposite of you. I never pick
games. Yeah, see, it's hard for me to put.
I live in Kansas.
Yeah, it's true. I get everything you're saying. It's just hard for me to do that. I'm not going to be able to write UConn in that championship box.
Hmm.
Not going to be able to do it. If I had to, man, those top three teams are pretty tasty to me.
Do you want to take that bet right now?
No.
Okay.
I would never forgive myself if the Jayhawks were then to go on to win.
All right, Kyle, who you got? If we were to pick those top three versus the field, who you taking?
It's tough. Right, but it's a tough question.
It's a good question.
Other years it would be easier.
I mean, right now, I'm putting Houston there.
Okay, so he's going to take the top three.
Yeah.
He's narrowing it down to one. I'll take the field versus Houston right now, straight up with you. Who wants it?
Oh yeah, let's take it.
Wow,
look at that! Oh wow.
Well, the way they played on Saturday, the way they played against the Jayhawks on Saturday, they looked pretty good. Deserved every bit of it. All right, the Jayhawks have the Cincinnati Bearcats tomorrow, about 25 hours from now, probably later.
Probably later.
24 hours.
32 hours from now.
Yeah, just depending on how the day goes. I mean, there is a break in the middle there, but usually it's not running necessarily on time. So tomorrow night, the Jayhawks will be the feature game in the evening against the Cincinnati Bearcats. Kevin, prediction time. Who wins and why?
I think the Jayhawks win straight up. You can give me the points. I like them on the money line. I think they come out just absolutely free. They let the ball fly, as Bill Self said in Hawk Talk. I think that there's a something that they can unlock with this lineup that is super fun for the players and that could just be something, just a little spark. That gets them a little story going into the postseason, into March Madness. I don't know that they'll beat Baylor if we have to match up straight up with this crew, but I have a feeling for one night, this could be a fun game.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And then, you know, we'll do it all over again on Thursday night.
A why? You answer the why?
Yeah, the why, yeah.
Because we're going to make 13 threes.
13. You heard it here first.
Johnny Furphy might make six.
All right, how many is Timberlake going to make?
Five.
Okay. Write all this down, everybody. I will say this. Our predictions have not been all that great this evening, as the six-seed Milwaukee is going to be down by the one-seed Oakland in the Barbasol Horizon League.
Check on that one guy.
Championship.
BJ.
Sorry about that.
Whatever his name.
But I'm going to take the Hawks, too. It's going to be a fun night. Get down there to the T-Mobile Center. Get down there. to the Miller Lite Fan Fest. It's always a good time. It's the best time in Kansas City.
Did we convince you, Kyle? Did we convince you that it's time to wait till we're healthy?
You guys and Bill Self. He did kind of double down on
it. He is the closer.
For the tournament.
He is the closer. We warm you up, he closes it.
I'll tell you that the vibe checks on Twitter, Portal Season 1 pretty handily. Pretty handily.
Well, what? Split it up, though. Like, in terms
32%
of
Portal, second place. Wait till we're healthy, 26%.
All right. Well, if you split it up, it's hot and cold.
Yeah,
it's about 50-50 on hot and cold.
All right.
I'm on the hot side.
You're on the hot side. All right, let's get out of here. We appreciate you all listening. Get down to P&L. Rock chop. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gonna keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited all